Acharya, also associated with A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namacharya Das Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sagaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Swasti Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopita Shama Kunda Radha Kudikidi Gavardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Nabadvab Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Jamuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to some of the bodies, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravari Pacharane Nirvashesha Shunyavari Paschachari Shatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sri Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 71, Verse 4. Asmakam cha mahan atto yete naiva bhavishyati yasascha tava govinda ragyo bhadan vimunchataha. Asmakam, for us, cha, and mahan, great, artha, gain, he, indeed, etena, and by this, eva, even, bhavishyati, there will be, yasa, glory, cha, and tava, for you, Govinda. O Govinda, Ragya, the kings, Badan, imprisoned, Vimunchata, who will release? Translation, by this decision there will be great gain for us, and you will save the kings. Thus, Govinda, you will be glorified. Text 5, the invincible King Jarasandha is as strong as 10,000 elephants. Indeed, other powerful warriors cannot defeat him. Only Bhima is equal to him in strength. Purport, Sridhar Swami explains that Yadavas were extremely eager to kill Jarasandha, and thus to caution them, Sri Uddhava spoke this verse. Jarasandha's death could come only by the hand of Bhima. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti adds that Uddhava had previously deduced this from the Jyotiraga and other astrological scriptures he had learned from his teacher, Brihaspati. He will be defeated in a match
of single chariots, not when he is with his 100 military divisions. Now, Jarasandha is so devoted to Brahminical culture that he never refuses requests for Brahmanas. Purport. It might be argued that since only Bhima could equal Jarasandha in personal strength, Jarasandha would be more powerful when supported by his huge army. Therefore, Uddhava here recommends single combat. But how could Jarasandha be persuaded to give up the support of his powerful army? Here, Uddhava gives the clue. Jarasandha will never refuse a request from a Brahmana since he is devoted to Brahminical culture. Bhima should go to him disguised as a Brahmana and beg charity. Thus, he will obtain single combat with Jarasandha, and in your presence, Bhima will no doubt kill him. Purport, the idea is that Bhima should beg his charity a one-to-one fight with Jarasandha. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva act only as your instruments in cosmic creation and annihilation, which are ultimately done by you, the Supreme Lord, in your invisible aspect of time. Purport, Uddhava here explains that in fact Lord Krishna himself will cause the death of Jarasandha, and Bhima will merely be the instrument. The Supreme Lord, through his invincible potency of time, creates and annihilates the entire cosmic situation, whereas great demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are merely the instruments of the Lord's will. Therefore, Bhima will have no difficulty acting as the Lord's instrument to kill the powerful Jarasandha. In this way, by the Lord's arrangement, his devotee Bhima will be glorified. So, here we have the explanation of Uddhava of what to do. And we see, of course, he's explained already that first Jarasandha has to be killed, and then Krishna should attend the Rajasuya sacrifice. So in this way, both parties are satisfied. However, there are other complications, and that is explained here. So the complication is that Jarasandha is very difficult to defeat. And if the Yadus try it by themselves, they will fail. Yeah? So the only person who is capable of doing that is Bhima. But then that also is a problem, because Bhima cannot defeat the whole army along with Jarasandha. So therefore, Uddhava devises this trick by which Bhima gets a single fight with Jarasandha and doesn't involve the army at all. And that is, he gets disguised as a Brahmana and then gets a gift or something from Jarasandha, and then he asks to fight with him. So this is the complicated way in which Jarasandha will be defeated. So this again is the intelligence of Uddhava manifested. We see that he was aware that Jarasandha could not be defeated by ordinary means, even by the Yadus. So therefore, Bhima would have to do that by some sort of trick. And even there later on, we see there's a further trick that has to be done so that Jarasandha is defeated. So, Uddhava was quite aware of this complicated situation. So therefore, he's giving very, very good advice here. So this illustrates the intelligence of Uddhava and able to, his ability to solve this problem of how to get rid of Jarasandha. Of course, as well as to satisfy the Pandavas, etc. And we see that here the Pandavas are also involved in this, even in this particular killing of Jarasandha. We have Bhima involved. So it's not the Yadus who are involved, but Bhima is involved. So this again is a glorification of the Pandavas and Bhima, the devotee. The Lord uses the Pandavas as his instrument. Now, of course, the Yadus are more closely related to him, as far as family line is concerned, and generally they're considered more intimate than the Pandavas. Yet we see that
Krishna's sometimes shows his great affection for the Pandavas by involving them in these matters, such as this one where Bhima is the one who kills Jarasandha. In another case, we see that Arjuna becomes the instrument of Krishna for fighting the battle of Kurukshetra. So this shows the great attachment that the Lord has for his devotee in utilizing them and then glorifying them for the role they play. So in other words, the Lord likes to engage his devotee and also to give fame to his devotee. And ultimately, of course, all power is coming from the Supreme Lord, but the Lord likes to glorify his devotees. So this is a nice example of it in the case of Bhima. And it shows his very intimate relationship with the Pandavas, that they are very, very great devotees, so that the Lord will do this. Of course, Uddhava also understands the sensitive nature of this. Actually, the Yadus are closer than the Pandavas. Yet he is willing to advise that it's one of the Pandavas that gets to kill Jarasandha, not the Yadus. So even though by family relationship Uddhava is a Yadu, he doesn't consider that in his advice that he gives. In other words, he does not have any sort of false ego or identity that we Yadus are superior to the Pandavas, either military-wise or in terms of intimate relationship with Krishna. Rather, he's seeing what is the best solution to this problem. So this illustrates his equal nature, that he has no preference for one thing or the other. Rather, he's willing to simply engage according to the situation to see what is the most effective solution without taking sides one way or the other. So he's a rather neutral person as well. So that is required by a good consultant or a good minister. They have to be neutral. They have to be intelligent. They have to understand human nature. So here we have human nature, his understanding of human nature, because he understands how Jarasandha is affectionate to Brahmanas, and therefore if they ask for something, he will give it. So he understands Jarasandha's nature as well. Otherwise, he cannot be tricked into, you know, fighting alone with another person. He'll use his army, but this is one way in which it can be done. So he takes advantage of his particular nature of being kind to Brahmanas or respectful to Brahmanas. So in this way, we have a demonstration of Uddhava's great skills in relation to solving this particular problem. This, of course, is Krishna's engagement of Uddhava, just as he is engaging the Pandavas and the Yadus as his instruments. So he also engages Uddhava as his instrument. So here, as was mentioned previously, of course, Krishna could have solved the problem, but he's giving the credit to Uddhava. He's letting Uddhava manifest his great skill in solving this particular problem. So by doing so, then Uddhava gets glorification and fame as well. As I mentioned previously, though the Yadus are generally considered to be on a higher level than the Pandavas in terms of intimacy with the Lord, because even though Krishna becomes a charioteer of Arjuna and acts for Yudhisthira and attends his Rajasuya sacrifice, still, they live separately. Certainly Krishna goes and lives in their house, but it's not constant. And the majority of the time he is in Dwarka with the Yadus. So then that indicates that he is closer to them, and his attachment to them is even more than to the Pandavas. However, among the Yadus, then Uddhava is considered to be the most intimate of all the different Yadus, more than anyone else, because he is constantly with Krishna in Dwarka. When Narada Muni goes to see who's the best devotees, then they suggest, Pandavas say, okay, Yadus are better. So then Narada Muni goes to Dwarka, and then he observes and he praises the Yadus because Krishna is always there. And then the Yadus say, not so true, because we only see Krishna when he comes into the assembly in the morning for a few hours, and then he leaves, and we don't see him again. He's there for a few hours, then he's gone, and we don't see him. He's back in his palace again. But Uddhava is with him in the assembly, and also when he goes into his palaces, he's everywhere with Krishna. Therefore, he is more intimate than we are. He's a better devotee. So this is the conclusion of the Yadus, that of all of them, Uddhava is the best devotee, because he's with Krishna everywhere in Dwarka. So certainly as far as Dwarka and those pastimes are concerned, that is true. And there are many statements by Krishna himself in Bhagavatam to show his great connection with Uddhava. And in fact, just as Krishna recited the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, which is again a show of his affection for him and a glorification of Arjuna, so in Bhagavatam there is the whole section in the 11th canto where Krishna is explaining to Uddhava various things, all the different subject matters like karma, gyan, yoga, bhakti, etc. So a very similar type of teachings are given to Uddhava as well. And not to all the Yadus, but particularly to Uddhava. So then again, a great, great, great affection for Uddhava. So therefore he likes to glorify Uddhava. As I mentioned, Uddhava, apart from all of his skills in this way, his outstanding nature is that he can understand Krishna's mind more than anyone else, and particularly in relation to his attachment to the people of Vrindavan. So he can understand that. The only other person in Dwarka that can do that is Rohini, because Rohini was also in Vrindavan previously. But Vasudeva and Devaki, they weren't there. Nobody else was there. Rohini was there. Uddhava was not there. But still, his quality is such that he could appreciate this nature of Krishna, and that's why Krishna sent him to Vrindavan to give the message to the gopis and Nanda and Yasoda, because he could appreciate their mood and he could deliver a message to them and console them, whereas others could not do so. So in other words, he was a substitute for Krishna, he was able to do that in Vrindavan. So Uddhava had a very intimate relationship, such that he even understood not only the Dwarka pastimes and how to operate and give advice there, but also for Vrindavan and Krishna's relationship with those people, and he could give advice there also very nicely. So Uddhava was, we can say, a bridge between Dwarka and Vrindavan. He could go both places, whereas most people don't do that. We don't see the other Yadus going to Vrindavan. Akura went there a short time, then he's gone. But Uddhava could go back and forth, and he does that afterwards as well, according to Gopal Champu. So Uddhava's got a very special relationship with Vrindavan as well as with Dwarka. And he's allowed to witness the wonderful activities of the people of Vrindavan. So that's even a greater qualification on the part of Uddhava, more than his other qualifications. Still, Uddhava says, I only aspire to be the servant of the people of Vrindavan, or the grass of Vrindavan, etc. Like Brahma aspires to be like grass in Vrindavan. So Uddhava says, I would aspire to follow after the gopis, etc. like that. But still, he cannot really participate in the same way. He's limited also. So therefore, there's some little distinction between him and the people of Vrindavan. And his mood, of course, is largely dasya, with a little sakya mixed in. So but a very, very intimate relationship with Krishna. So, therefore, like Krishna himself likes to give credit to his devotees and use them to glorify them, so Uddhava does this also by making the suggestion that the Yadu should not interfere and try to kill Jarasandha, rescue the kings, but Bhima should do that. And this way, Bhima gets the glorification, the Pandavas get the glorification rather than the Yadus. But he does this out of his great understanding of Krishna's nature as well. So therefore, in both pastimes, we get a show of Krishna's affection for the Pandavas, even though he is in Dwarka. So though he lives in Dwarka, that does not mean he forgets the Pandavas. So still, somehow his relationship is there, his affection is there, his obligation is there. So we find within this pastime of first killing Jarasandha and agreeing to the advice of the Yadus, still, even here we have a glorification of the Pandavas and a show of affection for the Pandavas by letting Bhima do the work of killing Jarasandha. So, in this way, in both of the alternatives, that is, killing Jarasandha or going to the Rajasuya sacrifice, we got a display of affection for the Pandavas. In this case with Bhima, other case with Yudhisthira. So, again, we find a very, very interesting way in which Krishna arranges his pastimes and shows his affection. So, and Uddhava understands all of these intricacies of Krishna's sentiments and how he likes to arrange things. So, therefore, this explanation that he's given, this plan that he is giving, is a display of that great sympathy with Krishna's mind.
Maharaj, when Krishna goes to Mathura and he comes after that first time he met Yadus, and then he sends Uddhava to Vrindavan. So there was no intimacy till that time, and what made him send only Uddhava, decide on Uddhava to send him, and then he gets intimate?
He wasn't intimate with Uddhava at that time. Well, I guess he had about 3 months. they hadn't met before, nor had he met the other Yadus, except, of course, Vasudeva and Devaki at birth. A little bit strange. They were strangers, and maybe 3 months acquaintance or whatever like that. Nevertheless, Uddhava was similar age, similar appearance, similar mentality, etc. So, from the very beginning, they seemed to have a great bond with each other, and Krishna could understand his particular nature. Why it was like that, that's Krishna's arrangement. But nevertheless, somehow or other, he just happened to be a person who had a nature which was particularly suitable for Krishna, and who could operate sometimes in Mathura and Dwarka, and on the other hand in Vrindavan. So Krishna just recognized that nature. We can say that's just maybe his his swarup is like that he has that quality to be able to appreciate both realms. Well, we find this is the case of many demons. They somehow respect brahmanas. We find Bali Maharaj, when he was demon, He was holding sacrifices and also respecting Brahmanas, and therefore when Vamana made his request, then he said, oh yeah, he's a young Brahmachari Brahmana, so I have to fulfill his request in spite of the fact that it's going to destroy me. So, and we find other cases also where the great demons will be worshipping Shiva or someone else like this. So superficially, yes, they support the Brahmanas, but the demons really do that for their own purposes. According to Dharma, yes, they have these principles, but then their concept of Dharma is also distorted. So they will follow principles of Dharma, but the goal is different. So that is what we can say the difference between a Asuric Varnashram and a Daiva Varnashram. They look very similar and they may have similar rules, but the Asuric Varnashram, they exclude the Lord completely. They ignore the Lord, and in fact not only ignore the Lord, they may be hostile to the Lord, as in the case of Duryodhana and others like that. It is said that Duryodhana, he was ruling for some years, and actually he was a very good king in many ways, quite efficient as a king and with knowledge of rules of Dharma. But the main problem was he didn't accept the Supreme Lord. He didn't accept Krishna at all. They had animosity towards the Pandavas, who were the devotees of the Lord. So that was his great disqualification. And therefore, that led him to do other acts which are completely, you know, aparad and sin, etc. So yes, the demons show some aspects of Dharma. Then on the other hand, they show the opposite qualities as well. So superficially, they may say we're great kings, but then we look at all the activities they do and we see them as so greatly sinful activities and great offensive activities as well within them, because of their particular nature. So all those, the good aspects are canceled out completely by their non-surrender to the Lord and persecution of devotees. Yeah.
So that means he could not get a complete knowledge from Vrishvati. Can you say?
Uddhava didn't get complete knowledge from Brihaspati because?
Because Krishna is teaching him 11
kandas. Well, having been the disciple of Brihaspati in one sense is not an ultimate praise, because Brihaspati is Guru, the Devatas, and he's famous for knowledge, but still, he's not the famous as the greatest devotee also. So in one type of knowledge, yes. Okay. But in terms of devotion, that's another thing. Therefore, for knowledge of bhakti and other things concerning the Supreme Lord, especially Krishna, not so effective.
Some people say that whatever is not in Bhagavad Gita, that is in Uddhava Gita. What is not in Bhagavad Gita, that is in Uddhava Gita. How is it? Is it true?
We could say there's details, further details in the 11th canto. For instance, we'll find a description of deity worship there.
Yeah,
in Bhagavad Gita, it says, offer me a leaf or fruit or flower. That's the extent we get. So no details of things. So in 11th canto, we get more details of, you know, Pancharatri deity worship. And then, of course, on there's more details on the yoga system, more details on the karma yoga and the duties of the varnas and ashramas, etc. Oh, yeah, so we can say it's an enlargement of those principles of karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. And in fact, jnana spends a whole 2 chapters there on jnana even. So, and then, of course, bhakti has got some elaborate descriptions also.
How do you explain regarding this, unless one reads the Bhava state, so he cannot understand others who are in Bhava state. So, Uddhava here, he is not the state of gopis. Now, how will he understand the mood of the gopis?
Well, not completely, but at least to some degree. Obviously not completely, he cannot understand everything, but more than others could. For instance, the Yadus, very difficult for them to understand anybody in Vrindavan what to speak of the gopis. You know, a little whether it's Nanda or Yasoda or the cowherd boys. Very difficult for the Yadus to think of that. When Gopakumar was in Dwarka in the spiritual world, and the Yadus were looking at him, change your dress, don't be a cowherd boy, we don't appreciate this. Yeah? So their mentality is quite different. Uddhava, on the other hand, he had great sympathy for him, and he stayed with him actually when he was there. So
3 months, 7 months.
Yeah, and he was with them, and he got along with them very well because he appreciated Vrindavan, and therefore he had no objection. He understood the nature of Vrindavan, etc. So, very sympathetic. So, still, in terms of rasa, he can appreciate, but he cannot identify completely with it. Just as even in Vrindavan, they all understand Madhurya rasa, but they have their own particular sakya rasa or dasya rasa or vatsalya rasa, etc. What's that?
When Uddhava went
to
Vrindavan,
yeah,
he watched them and he was more reverential.
He could understand them much more than the other Yadus could. Even the Yadus cannot even really understand Yasoda and Nanda and their affection for Krishna. When Devaki saw Nanda and Yasoda crying and embracing Krishna and Balaram at Kurukshetra, she was shocked. Couldn't understand. It's not even your child, how you're so affectionate to him. So what to speak of the gopis, can't even understand Yasoda's affection or anyone else's affection in Vrindavan. So quite a great distance.
even when Mother Yasoda kept Krishna on her lap,
So Nanda and Yasoda, they saw Krishna as small children still, even when they were grown up and like kings, in Dwarka. So they didn't see that aspect at all. They had a completely different vision of Krishna. So Uddhava could appreciate that the way in which the people of Vrindavan loved Krishna and how they exchanged with him various things. So, even though he had, a respectful relationship because his relationship is dasya with Krishna, but still he could appreciate everyone's relationship.
Uddhava is not considered one of the Mahajans, but he is supposed to be closest to Krishna, understanding Krishna the most. Then how is the difference between a Mahajan?
Well, the Mahajans are a list given in the Bhagavatam in one place. That's general bhakti. Probably the best of those devotees there would be Sukadev, and maybe like that. But otherwise, we get devotees who are devotees, but they're not on the highest level. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we have a more systematic categorization of the different types of devotees, in which we get Prahlad and others and whatever, and Dhruva and others. But ultimately, it goes beyond, much beyond what the Mahajans. So we get Pandavas, Yadus, and then the people of Vrindavan, and then finally the gopis, who are not mentioned at all as Mahajans. We don't have Radha as a Mahajan, but she's the greatest devotee. So it's a very general description when we talk about Mahajans. This is devotion in general.
Can you say they are the authority to propagate knowledge?
Yeah.
So today we are giving a wonderful book, Sri Bhagavad Bhagavata by Sanatana Goswami, three parts available. First, finding the essence of Supreme God's mercy. Second part is glories of Goloka, and third part is glories of Goloka concluded. So this is a wonderful book by Sanatana Goswami, where the devotee starts from lower level and reaches to the Vrindavan. Anyone wants to get from Maharaj can come. First, Srinivas Nithai Prabhu already made some arrangement. She will be getting first copy. Srinivas Nithai Prabhu. Cost is 2,100. You can give more.
Hare Krishna.
Gajan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Oh.
Mario. Amrendra.
Hare Krishna.
We can encourage Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.